Yeah, leading in with a little Christmas jazz there. All right, I mean, it's the holidays. Get you in the spirit. Welcome to episode 7 of Transactions with Dave Canton. Coming to you every single week, talking about the always changing automotive industry, financial topics that matter to automotive dealers, the whole M&A world, and a lot more. This is the episode before Christmas, and we will have one next week as well before New Year's. Then we'll have a week off, be back the following week. So just to give you guys a heads up. I am your host, Derek D, and let's welcome in Dave Canton, the CEO and founder of the Dave Canton Group, along with all the DCG family of brands. How you doing, Dave?
Fantastic, Derek. How are you today?
I'm good, Dave. You know, it's the holiday season, got the Christmas spirit flowing. It's Christmas this week. You doing anything special for the holiday?
You know, this is going to be the first year in many years that we are actually going to sit still and enjoy the holiday. How about you?
Wow. You know, see, I always like to be home for the holidays. Like I don't like being in a warm climate for Christmas. I don't want to see palm trees on Christmas morning, but that's just me. So I'm always home, always with the family.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Look, it's the way to do it, the way to enjoy it. And it's going to be a great year. Look, you know, this is just such an unordinary time, right?
Sure is.
Out of the ordinary, I should say, with everything that's going on in the world today. But I got to tell you this, let's hop right into transactions. I'm not going to waste too much time today. You know, I got to tell you, usually we utilize, okay, this week before Christmas, okay, leading up to Christmas, to really just kind of plan for next year, right? To strategize.
Right.
If I don't tell you this has been the busiest week that we have gone through, probably in the automotive industry of transactions, it is. I mean, it's just so out of the ordinary for the amount of volume and deals for the year end. You know, it's absolutely insane. You know, this morning I was reading an article, okay, that described notable year-end acquisitions from, and this is just from November 30th to December 9th. So think about that, right?
Oh, wow, that's
November
30th
to December 9th, right? You had Lithia Motors acquire 3 Ford dealerships, Sonic Automotive Group acquire RFJ 22 dealerships,
wow.
Asbury Automotive Group just acquired 8 dealerships. Terry Taylor, through his management services, acquired 7 dealerships. Keating Automotive Group acquires 3 dealerships. Maury's Automotive Group acquires 2 dealerships. Hudson Automotive Group acquires 2 Mercedes-Benz dealerships.
Wow.
And then you have Ed Morris Automotive Group. I love Teddy. 3 dealerships in Illinois. I mean, just think about that, right? In the matter of 9 or 10 days. Think about all those transactions, right?
And that's not, I mean, and that's not just like DCG wasn't in charge of all those, right? That's a ton of.
No, you're talking about the industry.
Insane.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're talking about the industry. I mean, gosh, I mean, look, I got to tell you, DCG, just in the last 2 days, I think we closed on 3 or 4 acquisitions and more to come this week. But everyone is racing to the finish line to close out the year. We're still hearing that Asbury Automotive Group still plans to close on Larry H. Miller by the end of the year, which is a monstrosity, right? Everyone is just geared up, ready to close. But I got to tell you how exciting this is, because what that means, Derek, is that they're going to reload come 22.
What's that
right?
mean?
You know, it means that they're going to reload. They're going to get there. They're going to get the organizations and the infrastructure right with all these monster closings. Okay. Mm-hmm. RFJ going to Sonic 22 stores, Larry H. Miller closing on, you know, oh my gosh, how many stores? I think it's 50 plus with Larry H. Miller, but you know, It's really just getting the infrastructure in place, right? Like Prime Automotive Group going to Group One, you know, you got 30 plus dealerships. You got to really just, you know, it's not just closing and moving on. It's closing and creating that climate, right? That company climate, making sure that everyone's happy, making sure the processes have been implemented, making sure everyone's properly onboarded, making sure that all the third-party vendor companies are in position properly, DMS systems, advertising, marketing, and so on. And then what's exciting is that it's all happening now, right? Is that come January, February, March, I believe we're going to see, again, historic numbers of monster acquisitions. I'm not talking about 1 or 2 or 3 dealerships, like I read a few of these just now in these notable year-end deals. I'm talking about we're going to see a bunch more very large monster acquisitions that probably were never even thought of being sold, okay, or transferred onto the next automotive group, because consolidation is real. Okay. Consolidation is here today and it's here to stay. And I think in 2022, especially in Q1, 2, and 3, we're going to see a lot more consolidation than we've even considered, even after seeing all this consolidation in Q2, 3, and 4 of 2021.
Wow. When you say monster acquisition, obviously you're talking about when it's like many, many dealerships, like a big acquisition of a lot of dealerships. Like, I mean, I don't know, just because I'm curious, what does that look like? Like, what is that cost? Like, say you're, I think someone, what you said before was like 30 dealerships. Like, what that's got to be extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, just to give you an example, I mean, you know, a 25 rooftop could be $1 billion, right? Jeez. I mean, $1 billion. Think about
that's
that.
Insane.
$1 billion. But there's so much, you know, these public companies, their stocks have been rising. There's so much liquidity that has to be put to work. Profitability is at an all-time height. Even with inventories being down, still supply and demand, right? It always manages to create that demand, even though there's minimal supply. I do think in 22, we'll start to gradually see more supply at the dealers. But, you know, it's a great time to be in the buy-sell industry as far as you're either becoming a buyer or you're positioning yourself and waking up and saying, wait, maybe it's time that I become a seller, right? I mean, think about that, right? The dealer, either the single dealer or the family of dealers, they're going on their life, right? Being an automotive dealer, doing what they do best, loving this industry, and then decide, is it time? What triggers that consideration? Well, I'll tell you what triggers it. Reading the automotive news, you know, reading Dealer News Today, listening to a Dealer News Today podcast, that's what triggers it. Understanding, okay, the opportunity, and I use that word a lot here, opportunity of these unbelievable values that are being put on dealerships. I don't think there's a much better time, okay, that I've ever seen in the history of being involved in mergers and acquisitions in the automotive space than it is for a seller today. You know, you're really going to benefit, okay, and give someone else the opportunity to take over your platform, carry on that legacy, as we say, right? You know, a buyer is not just considering what they're paying for it today. They're considering, okay, to acquire dealerships that they never believed or thought that they had the ability to acquire. Most of the acquisitions that took place this year, Derek, if I believe that if we were not going through this pandemic and we were not going through this supply and demand and we were not experiencing these historical profits, we would have never experience witnessing these types of acquisitions on the market today. We're doing that because of all of those things that I just mentioned, right? And it becomes the right time to trigger that opportunity to acquire these incredible acquisitions that a lot of these public companies are taking advantage of and very large privately held companies are taking advantage of. If there's ever been a time to grow, the time is now.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to ask you because, you know, you were saying these are extraordinary times because of the fact that there is a high demand for cars and people to buy cars and all that stuff. It transfers into the fact that there's a high demand for people to acquire dealerships and to buy and for people to sell, you know, as long as it fits in with their, you know, as we spoke about before, their succession plan and what they, you know, what they plan on doing is that that's basically what happened, right? Because of the demand for just consumers. It just snowballs into M&A world.
Look, everything snowballs into the M&A world in any industry when you're experiencing historical profits, right? Historical profits in any industry trigger the light bulb to saying my valuation of my company just went up. I mean, look, the American dream is you build and you sell high, right? You build it from the bottom, you sell high. Well, that's what we're experiencing today. The unknown factor is does it go higher? Right. And that's the gambling, right? That's the risk versus reward and not knowing if there's a reward with the risk. How much higher could the valuation go? Now, you know, at the end of the day, you know, most people that are buying acquisitions today solely aren't just saying, well, you made four times what you made from 18 and 21, and I'm going to pay you a 7-time multiple on 21. That's not happening today. What's happening today is the 2020 and 2021 profit numbers are driving up the evaluation on an average year multiple. And as this continues to grow, yes, there's a possibility that the average year multiple can grow. The question is, how long is it going to last? The factual answer is it's not going to last forever, right? So how long can this last? And we know it's not going to last forever. So it's just like anything else. How long do you stay in it, right? You think about the stock market. You look at a stock, the stock starts, you know, skyrocketing, great earnings come out on an earnings call, stock goes up. Okay. You might say this is a great time to sell, or
Hold, wait.
Derek, time out. Or you might say this is a great time to buy because you don't know how high it's going to go, right?
Right.
So you really have to figure out which side of the table you're on, okay? And that's really a financial aspect and an industry aspect of understanding the risk versus reward, right? So there's a lot of dealers today that are still sitting on the sideline saying, I think it's going to continue to grow. I think it's going to continue to move. And because of that, they're sitting back saying, we want to keep enjoying these historical profits, but at the same time, we are considering, okay, the opportunity to take one of these monster cash out opportunities.
Right. Yeah. That's what I meant by hold on to it because it's doing so well, you know, like you said, you could sell because it is doing so well. So yeah, it's that risk versus reward thing. I mean, that's in business and in life. You know, you got to take risks, period, I think, you know, in order to be successful. You know, you're not just successful. You need to fail a lot before you become successful.
Anyone who told you that they've succeeded without failure is lying to you. And I would usually use the F word between that, but I chose not to on this podcast. But they are lying to you, okay, Derek? That's a guarantee. Look, the real question of all of this is, what happens if you're really considering selling, right? And you're holding, and then the market drops, right?
Yeah.
That's the risk, right? Because you really run the risk of waiting too long. Because at the end of the day, there isn't an analyst out there that's not going to tell you it's going to end. We are going to have a balance of what we've just experienced. Now, what does that mean? Does it go backwards? Does it flatten? Does it continue to go up and then skyrocket down? Nobody knows, right? Especially with COVID resurfacing, especially with, you know, there's so many more laws coming into place now, depending upon what governors in each state are setting as far as COVID restrictions. Look at New York City, for an example. Look at LA, for example. It depends upon what city you're in, depends upon, you know, what the choice of the governor is in that state. But at the end of the day, there's so many different restrictions. Who knows what's going to happen, right? Who knows how this is going to resurface? But at the end of the day, what we're experiencing today, just to get back to how I started this podcast, is this is so out of the ordinary for year end. That's how many acquisitions are taking place right now. I just told you of literally 10 you know, notable acquisitions that have taken place just in the last 10 days, right?
Yeah,
Think about that. There's so much more. So this is, you know, the manufacturers right now. Think about this, Derek. The corporate development teams at these manufacturers that handle these buy-sell acquisitions, getting all the sales and service agreements ready to go, getting the dealerships up and running with their new dealer codes and, you know, just allocations, getting inventories ready for these dealers. They're losing their mind. There's so much going on. I mean, I can only imagine, and I kind of know the numbers, but I can only imagine, you know, the frustration of these manufacturers because this has been the most turnover, okay, ever in history, in the automotive history, okay, of going from one owner to another. And it's not like just closing on a home and leaving the closing table and going to move in your new home. You know, you're now walking into a store or a number of stores that have a lot of employees, that have a lot of third-party vendors that have a lot of movements to their infrastructure and processes that have to be obviously changed over and you know, redeveloped into the new current ownership structure. So there's so much that takes place with a transaction. It's not just closing and now there's a new name on the building. There's so much that goes into it. And I got to tell you this, that's how much credit that I give to these big public companies and the large privately held companies that are going out and just gobbling up acquisitions because they built processes. And look, process is key, right? We always say this all the time, right? You know, product, process, people. Well, I got to tell you, hands down, hat up to these incredible automotive groups that have put these processes together with incredible people across all brands and products, because they're going in buying 20, 30 car platforms and just kind of, you know, as quickly as they can, creating their dynamic infrastructure in these stores, sending in teams of people to make everyone feel comfortable, to make everyone not worried, to making them understand that this is a better and greater opportunity. Because the last thing you want to do is put out there $1 billion, right? Yeah. And then have key management or key employees that have been there for decades not feel comfortable with the transaction. So yeah. There's so much that goes into closing on a dealership, and post-close is almost more critical than pre-close, right? Getting the dealership back up and running, Derek, getting the people in place, getting everyone excited, getting people ready to smile, getting people excited to want to go work for someone else, and really letting them understand the history of the company that's purchasing that organization. So hats off to these monster automotive groups that are going in there, acquiring these dealerships 10, 20, 30, 40 at a clip, and quickly adapting like a chameleon, just adapting their people into the new people, you know, it just creating an incredible atmosphere. And that's most important.
Yeah, because you want to, obviously, if you work at a dealership, you're a manager, whatever it is, you want to have confidence in the new people coming in and make you feel good about it. Obviously, that's got to be paramount. Is there one last question before we get going? Is there any, like you said, a lot of these acquisitions, they want to get it done before the new year. Is that just because like, hey, let's just get it done? Or is there an advantage to getting it done in 2021 versus in 2022? Will they get more money? Will they spend less money? Like, what's the advantage there?
It's not about an advantage or disadvantage. It's more about the unknown, right? So what is tax law? What's going to change in tax law in 2022, right? Cap gains, things of that nature, especially for the sellers. You know, it's the unknown, right? So so we know what we know in 21. We don't know what we don't know in 22.
Oh,
right?
I see.
So it's always more comfortable to react and to create the acquisition and to finalize the acquisition when you know. But when you don't know, then you're entering an unknown territory. And an unknown territory in anything that we do in life always has that greater risk than a reward, right? Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of dealers are trying to secure the known. And they're saying, if we close by 12/31/21, we know what we know. As soon as we enter into, you know, January 1st, 2022, then we walk into the unknown territory. And that unknown territory creates fear and also can create an acquisition possibly going bad. So at the end of the day, it's about the unknown versus the known.
Right. Yeah. Because like you said, there may be new laws in 2022. So you'd have to go back and rework a bunch of things you worked on that were right for 2021, but not right for 2022. So now it makes sense to me why they would want to get it in before the new year. Transactions with Dave Canton every week. Dave, anything else before we get going?
I want to take time to wish the entire industry a happy and healthy holiday. For those that have not received or haven't looked at last week's automotive news edition, I ask everyone to please take the time to go back and read the December 13th Automotive News Edition. And please, I think it's page 6 or 7, take a look at the Dave Canton Group full page advertisement that we have in there. It would mean a lot to me. You know, this industry has been built upon our incredible philanthropic history of understanding how important it is to give back. There is a QR code there. Join Dave Canton Group in giving back and creating joy for anyone we possibly can in this world today. It'll if you take a picture with your phone, it'll bring you to Charity Navigator. You could choose any charity of your choice. I just ask everyone to find it a way in your heart to give back this year. I think it's critical as strong of an industry that we have today, as much as we do in this industry today, that we never stop what we do best, and that's giving back. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening today. Happy and healthy holiday. And I can't wait to be back on next week to have our last episode of 2021 and to end the year as strong as we can. Stay healthy, stay safe, and happy holidays.
Well said. And a Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and yours as well. Have fun being home with your family this year. You know, as the song famously says, there's no place like home for the holidays, right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Derek. Happy and healthy holidays to you, and Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. Transactions with Dave Canton on the DNT Network. For past episodes, you could listen over at dealernewstoday.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host, Derek D. Thanks for listening. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye, everybody.